I'm going to preach from up here today simply because I'm short on voice and I want to make sure that my voice does come through. And this is good for compared to what my voice has been the last couple days. We are narrative creatures. We are people of stories. Since human beings first came into existence, we have told stories. We tell stories to teach, to listen, to learn, to calm, as the children said, to scare, to ponder mysteries, to be funny. All kinds of reasons we tell stories. And stories tell us a lot about our past, our present, and our future. They help us process those things, integrate those things, talk about those things. And believe it or not, stories are even told in 140 characters per status update or Twitter, part of a greater narrative. And for a bibliophile like myself, being able to have hundreds of stories and books and words contained in one handy little Nook or Kindle is just an amazing thing. Stories have great power, and stories have dangerous power. They do heal and comfort. They teach and edify. They help us ask questions and make observations. They create and solidify and unify people. But stories also have the power to destroy, especially if they are told inaccurately, if secrets are held in the stories. And unfortunately, being human beings, as individuals and families and churches and nations, we use stories in good ways and in not so good ways. We use stories to free, and we use stories to bind up and entomb. As a pastor, and Barry can testify to this, and also as a therapist, and Barry is a lawyer, hears a lot of stories. Unfortunately, we hear a lot of the stories of the dark side of life. But we hear stories about the wonderful sides of life, too. Like when two people come to us for marriage counseling, and they tell the story of how they met, how they fell in love, what they've decided to do, how they plan to live their lives, the story of what they want their service to look like, so that they can convey to others how they intend to start their family before God and all of those that are closest to them. We who are Christians claim to be people of a particular story. The story of God sending his Son into the world to save us and to transform this world. We have our book called the Bible. The other major faith traditions also have their stories wrapped up in their own books, the Quran and the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures. But all those stories essentially tell the same message. The message is that God loves every one of us. Not just people of our story, but people of all the stories, and that we are to respond to God's call of love. And God is very clear in each of the major faith tradition stories about what that love looks like and about how we should respond to that story. Being human beings, what we do often is bind up those stories, bind them in tight little boxes, and keep them in tight tombs because we are afraid, because we don't trust that God will actually honor God's part of the story. And that is, God will work transformation. God will soften our hearts. God will hold us up through terrifying times, through grief and loss. So we bind up our stories with strips of dogma, of sainted pasts, of buildings, of budgets, of practices, of sainted pastors, of sainted people, and of fear. And it's not just, this is something that all churches do. We hear it in the world around us, how the Christian story, how God's story has been bound up by human beings for their own purposes. But God keeps coming back at us and back at us and back at us, as God has done throughout all of history, saying, no, folks, you've got it wrong. This story is about my kingdom. This is about how I would have you live. This is about how I would have all people live and what my vision of that is like. And I will continue to pursue you, my people, because I love you so much, and I will correct you. I will challenge you. I will call you to change, to transform, to unbind yourselves and come out of your self-created tombs. This example we have in today's gospel of Lazarus coming out after Jesus calls him, probably the last thing Lazarus expected after he died is that Jesus was going to call him out of the tomb and say, get up, come out here. And then ask people to unbind him. Lazarus did not unbind himself. It was through the work of God, through the intercession of God, asking people, God embodied in Jesus, asking people to free Lazarus from all that bound him. That is what we as Christians are called to do for and with each other, not only inside this building, but in God's world, in the world that is around us. And where we sin, where we all fall short, is that we focus so much on what happens inside this building and our personal lives, and binding up all the things we think are important to us, while the world outside of us, which is so desperately in need of God's love and God's healing, God's justice, God's kindness, God's generosity, falls apart and descends into chaos. And you can define chaos any way that you'd like. We create our own self-imposed valleys of dry bones. Churches can become valleys of dry bones. Schools and families' lives can become valleys of dry bones. Nations can become valleys of dry bones. We can become bound. We can become entombed. And most of the time, those are self-imposed. But what God does in each of these stories is calls us out, says, I will put flesh on you if you are willing to be transformed. I will embody my love through you if you allow me. If you allow me to transform you. And if you do, my love will show forth in this world. This world can be healed. But God never promised that it would be easy. As I reflected on this scripture this week, I kept thinking about Lazarus and trying to imagine what it would be like to walk out of a tomb bound in all these strips of cloth from head to foot. How hard it would be to get up and walk and then come out in front of God and the world, his family, and let them peel off the layers, every one of those strips. And I can only imagine what a body looks like after 4 days of decomposition. And to let himself be seen in that state, as well as a called state at the same time, a state in process, a process of becoming more fully human, more fully authentic, more fully who God calls us to be. That is what we as Christians profess to believe, that we are about becoming who God calls us to be as individuals, as a faith community, and as a world. The reason we choose not to do that oftentimes is because we're afraid, but God calls us beyond that. When Jesus came into the world, he lived in a time very much like ours. It was a time of social oppression and social domination, of elitist privilege, and a time where people concretized God's expansive transformational love, where it was concretized into one solid block of how it should be used for their advantage. God calls us to unbind his story, to let ourselves be unbound by the story, so that we can listen and learn indeed what it is that God is calling this faith community to. And that's part of what this interim process is going to be about, is unbinding ourselves and this church's story so that we can choose whether we will come out of the tomb as Lazarus did. Now, we don't know how the story of Lazarus ended. Lazarus came out, and Jesus told the crowd to unbind him. We don't know if Lazarus said, "Oh, no, I didn't bargain for this. I'm going back in the tomb." Or if Lazarus stood there and endured whatever the unbinding was. Our assumption is that he stood there and was restored to life, and the community was restored to life. But what is held in front of us today is the possibility of new life as individuals and as a community. Holy Week and Easter next week remind us about that very thing, is that in order to live, we need to die. Die to ourselves and die to each other. Die to those things that we bind and hold dear. Unbind them and let God reveal the new thing. My guess is if Jesus was alive today, he would probably pretty much stand against the things that he did in his time. When we look at our world, there's a lot to stand against. And it's not about being a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or a liberal or a progressive or whatever. It's not about those stories. It is about God's story. Is God's story our most important story? Is God's story the one that we will try to contain and control? Or is it God's story that will be our primary story, so that not only we can be loosed, but all those around us can be loosed to experience what it is that God calls us to, authentic life and authentic humanity. I'm going to close by sharing two things that I, two short paragraphs I have from a book that I've been reading. It sort of dropped in my lap over the last couple weeks. And I just want to close with some thoughts from this book. The goal of Jesus was realization of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was a new world order of transformed human relationships. It was social, economic, and political relationships in this world made holy. It honored God's dream that all people are holy. All people's needs are holy. Jesus did not establish a bureaucratic institution, weekly social gatherings, or houses of religious entertainment. He started a movement that demands that rather than spend our time establishing ever more luxurious churches, we must strive to establish God's kingdom of love and justice on earth as it is in heaven. The gospel he lived and died for summons us to treat all people and their needs as holy. This means instituting policies that fairly and equitably and lovingly respond to the suffering and want of all people, or at least as much of humanity as possible. Yes, lovingly, because Jesus' entire gospel was based on love. But note well that love as it is used here is not mere sentimentality. It is actively working to secure for one's neighbor what one wants for himself. That is the difference. Jesus' way acknowledges God as our Father, meaning that all are children of God, and thus all of our needs are holy. It is this standard that separates us from the rest of the world. In the time of Jesus and now, every policy and proposal must be judged by Jesus' yardstick of love and justice. If we call ourselves Christians, the bottom line is the yardstick of love and justice, and we must ask, do we act in that way? The goal of Jesus' movement and ministry and politics is a new creation, an order that truly serves the good of all in equal measure. Those who strive to practice as Jesus would have us practiced must always keep that as the focus of our prayers and our compassion, our love, and our faithful action. It is not optional. It is required of every follower of Jesus. He declared that as much in terms and left no doubt when he said, "Whoever is not with me is against me." That is to say, if you do not work for, in some real way, the establishment of God's kingdom of love and justice, then your silence and inactivity ultimately serve the forces of injustice. It will not be easy, for it seems that every aspect of today's culture militates against the gospel's call for truth, honesty, and sincere service. But this is as Jesus foretold it. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. This means that in every setting, the true followers of Jesus will be called forth to speak truth to power inside and outside their churches and to find power in the truth. Even as many strut about wearing their faith, the true followers of Jesus must hold dear his cross of self-sacrificial love. All of this requires more than simply bearing his name. These things we must do if at the sunset of our lives we are to be counted among those who try to truly love our neighbor as ourselves, by living as Jesus did, dying so that others might live. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the lover of humanity, Jesus, the liver of God's radical dream. So we have a choice: to become unbound, to come out of the tomb and risk living as God's people, or to stay bound in the tomb with Jesus' name inscribed on a tombstone, but not living in us. And the choice is as stark as that, as hard as that, and as easy as that. But what I can promise is if we start on this adventure, if we risk coming out of this tomb, it will be a journey we could take and we could never go back from, because it could transform our lives and the lives of the world around us in ways that are far beyond our imagination. So ponder the story. Decide, do you want to come out of the tomb? I sure do. Amen.